May all beings be happy. May all beings be healthy. May all beings be free from harm. May all beings love life. May all beings awaken. Welcome to another Gook Audio Podcast. I'm DZ Buba of Gook Audio and Gook Archives, preserving the legacy of Shunyu Suzuki and those whose past crossed his, and anything else that comes to mind. I pray that you and yours are safe and comfortable, free from economic hardship, and able to get out and do whatever it is you want within the limitations of the universal precept of do as little harm as possible. Today we have another episode of Life in Bali, and unlike recent weeks, we have a guest. But like recent weeks, it isn't somebody who I talked to recently and then had to go over it and everything, get it ready, because I'm sort of preoccupied with other stuff right now. So what I did, I thought, what do I have that would be good? And I thought, I think the first person I talked to about in the Life in Bali series was Sarah Wormald. But I did that. I went back and looked. It was in the fourth podcast. Now, I might have had a Life in Bali before that. Well, yeah, I mean, I was talking about Bali, so I'll have to look in those other ones. But I remember that she might have been the first guest. But it's in those early podcasts, like maybe the first five or six around that. I just did one a week. And then I shifted to six a week when I wanted to do one more and do more than one a week and have it go up on YouTube. I had to change my type of account with Podbean. So I upgraded it. And I did a test, and it was like really short. And I thought, well, I'll read some Zen thing. And that's how the whole mini podcast thing came about. I read one of the things from Zen is Right Here. And then I thought, well, I'll read the whole book. So then I started separating everything. But the early ones were like variety show, you know. So it had me, it had Life in Bali, and I had some other segments. Ask Dave, I remember that. And I'd have a brief interview with some Zen person or something. And then, like in the second one, I did Peter Schneider, who has the Beginner's Mind Zen Center in Northridge, part of L.A. So I had a nice 10-minute talk with Sarah Wormald in fourth podcast, in which I read chapter two of Crooked Cucumber. So I have pulled that out, and that's going to be her own standalone podcast. So look, I'm just going to stick it in right here, let's see how it goes. I think you'll learn plenty about her. She's a diver. She wrote Diving in Indonesia. She's been here 15 years or so, or 20. I don't know. She's from England. And she did a really nice job. I think she's been interviewed before because she just did a really good job. It tells some interesting stuff. Take it away, Sarah. From April 28th, 2020. I wanted to bring in my friend Sarah here to talk about it. So I'm going to make a call to her now.
Hello?
Hello, Sarah.
Hello.
Hey, nice picture, nice Skype picture here, very nice.
Thanks very much.
So, Sarah, we were walking to the beach the other day with Bondi, keeping a good distance apart and wearing our wearing masks as we are required to do. We were talking about the number of virus cases there are here, how slowly it's climbing, and how few deaths. And you mentioned something about the way they keep records, death records. Would you refresh my mind on that?
Yeah, it's more the way they don't keep death references and records. So, yeah, especially on Nusa Lembongan, there's no official record of deaths at all. It's merely a case of have a cremation or a burial and then a cremation later, but there's nothing officially recorded over on mainland Bali. And I suspect the case is the same for the other rural areas of Bali also.
Yeah, so that would take a whole study to figure out how much, what percentage is being reported. You said something like, and you know, there's no markers on the graves or something. I said, well, there's umbrellas. And then you said, well, that's before they're cremated. So go on from there, would you?
Yeah. So if the family cannot afford the cremation ceremony at the time of the death, they bury the body until they have enough money saved for the cremation. Now,
right?
Yes, they do. And because they believe that when the body is in the ground, the person has not yet passed over the side and then properly dead yet. And can I tell you another funny story about that?
Yeah, sure.
So a friend of mine is a member of the temple, and one of his jobs is to actually dig up the bodies for the cremation ceremony. This is a Balinese friend on Nusa Lembongan Island. So one of his jobs is to dig the bodies up before the cremation, which they do at night time. And he explained to me that the person is not dead until they're cremated. And he told me that he knew this was true because he would bury the bodies in one position. And when he dug them up 3, 4, 5 years later, the body was in a different position.
That's cool.
Yeah. So that's why they also, they place the umbrellas on them to give them shade, and they take them food, which they leave at the graveside. They take them drinks, they take them cigarettes, and anything else they might need while they're waiting underground.
Oh, wow. Oh, let me just point out one thing. The island of Limbongan, there's three islands just right off here, you know, 30-minute boat right away. And there's Limbongan, and then there's the big island of Bonita, and then in between is the little island of Chinangan. And those are part of Bali. Those. So then tell us about the diving experience you had.
I was a diving instructor based on Nusa Lembongan Island, and we have a dive site located maybe 150 meters offshore, just off the beach in front of the main village, which we call the House Reef.
House, like a house people live in?
Yeah, it's a common name for a dive site that's off the shore, located in front of a hotel or a village.
Mm.
So I was diving there one morning with student divers, and it's a nice, shallow, sandy site. And I was quite surprised to see a 100,000 rupiah bill on the sand. So I swam over and picked up the money, which is around $8, David?
No, it's about $6.50 now.
Yeah. And I smiled at my students and we, you know, I took the money and put it in my pocket. And then as we were swimming around, we found more and more money, a lot of money. And I I was very happy. Yeah. And I assumed if someone had dropped a wallet or a purse over the side of a boat. And when we got back to the dive center, I started taking the money out of my pockets, and I explained to the Balinese dive shop owner, Putu, we had found this money. And she carefully explained to me that there had been a ceremony the evening before after a cremation where they had made the offerings into the sea. So, of course, I was mortally embarrassed and offered to get back on the boat and take the money back. But Putu explained to me that it's the Balinese tradition that once an offering has been made, then whatever happens to it is the will of the gods. It still didn't stop me from feeling terrible, though.
Oh, yeah. Well, you're favored by the gods. That is great.
They obviously understood that diving instructors' salaries are not so good.
So after a cremation, then the ashes are put into the ocean after a while or right away? Or
as soon as the fire has died down and the ashes have cooled off, then the ladies actually sift through the ashes and they remove the bones. And they are searching for the hand bones and the finger bones that they find in hand bones. They arrange them on a banana leaf in the shape of actual hands. They almost reconstruct the hand bones. And then those bones are taken over to the mother temple of Besakti, which is the main temple on mainland Bali. And there's a ceremony there. The remainder of the ashes, yes, they have a ceremony on the beach in Bongan. And they put the ashes on a ceramic pot. And they actually put it on a small raft and send it out into the sea.
I've seen in Singaraja, I had a friend who was cremated, a German fellow, had a motorbike accident. No, he wasn't German, he's Austrian. And what they were doing in Singaraja, it looked to me like we're just going down to the water, because this is in front of a crematorium there. And so there was stuff happening all the time at various stages of the ceremonies. And they were just throwing stuff in the water with baskets and flowers and offerings and, you know, various things. So I guess that happens too. They're really used to putting things into the water. And it's hard. I know I have a friend who has a guest house down in Buitan near Chandi Dasa. It's really cool to stay at, sort of a hippie place. They bake their own bread and have a kiln, Lumbundamu. She said it's very distressing to her when she sees old ladies coming down to the ocean and just dumping all their trash into the ocean, plastic and everything. And, and she's Indonesian, although she sounds like she's from Southern California. She said, you know, she's tried to talk to them about it, but that's what they always did. The ocean was, you know, their wastebasket, and the creeks and rivers. So it's hard for them to change that. But they are changing little by little. More so in Java, I hear.
Yeah.
I'm sure you've experienced plenty of that, plenty of plastic in the ocean when you're diving.
Yeah, the problem is that the plastic came to Indonesia very quickly, and previously, when they were throwing their waste in the ocean, it was all banana leaves and organic matter.
Right.
And the plastic didn't come with instructions on how to dispose of it, unfortunately.
Well said. Well said.
Yeah.
Well, thank you most kindly, Sarah. And we look forward to speaking to you again in another episode of Life in Bali.
Thank you, David. Always a pleasure.
Yeah. Well, probably see you tomorrow.
Okay. Thanks, David.
Thank you. Take care. Bye-bye. So that was great. Sarah, thanks a lot. Great. Oh, Sarah, and I'm going to plug your book again. Sarah wrote Diving in Indonesia, the ultimate guide to the world's best dive spots, Bali, Komodo, Sulawesi, Papua, and more. I'll send you an email or a Facebook message or something and tell you you're on again. Maybe I'll do that. I'll go take out the interesting parts of those early ones and make them standalones. Anyway, all right. Time to head out. So, this has been a Cuke Audio podcast. Another episode of Life in Bali. I'm DC Puba of Cuke Audio and Cuke Archives, coming to you from sleepy Sanur with Doggett, Bandita, Feline Kuchita, and dear lovely Katrinka. And we're wishing you and yours and all of us a grand awakening.